We are back, and you're listening to the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Wilmer Leon, joined here by my co-host, Garland Nixon.
Thank you, Wilmer.
Eve Smith has a piece entitled Pentagon in Panic as Second Set of Leaked Documents Gains Traction, Revealing Spying on Allies and Deteriorating Ukraine Capabilities. When the Orthodox media depicts the Pentagon as in an uproar about now two leaks of sets of official-looking documents and tries to spin it, that they show how much dirt we've got on Russia, it's not a good look. There are too many admissions against interest, which oddly no one has denied, like the generally depleted state of Ukraine's military, which, as we discussed, was evident even in the first batch. For insight into this, let's turn to our next guest. He works with Tell the Word, a publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior in inner city Washington. His 27-year career as a CIA analyst includes serving as chief of the Soviet Foreign Policy Branch and preparer briefer of the President's Daily Brief. And he's the co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray McGovern, as always, Ray, welcome back.
Thank you.
Ray, we discussed this yesterday, and I found it really, really telling that today the Washington Post reports U.S. doubts Ukraine counteroffensive will yield big gains, leaked document says. Ukraine's challenges in massive troops, ammunition, and equipment could cause its military to fall well short of Kiev's original goals for an anticipated counteroffensive aimed at retaking Russian-occupied areas this spring. This is according to U.S. intelligence assessments contained in a growing leak of classified documents revealing Washington's misgivings about the state of the war. Again, Ray, we talked about this yesterday. This gets published today. This reads to me as though an off-ramp is being sought.
I think that may be right, Wilmer. I don't think you're gilding the lily to have that appear in the mainstream media, together with these leaks that show that prominent U.S. foreign policy and military officials have been lying through their teeth. That's big. That's really big. And to admit that the counteroffensive that everyone has been sort of thinking about and you know, kind of brooding about, the one that the head of national intelligence, April Haines, said she was very optimistic about. Why? Well, because the Russians are running out of weapons and they're running out of ammunition and their industrial base can't support it. I mean, it was all, or what in the Bronx we call, it was all a crock, okay? Now, this is documentary evidence that it was all a crock. So what is being done here? My guess is, and it's really just a guess based on previous experience, is that people are being prepared for a kind of an about-face on Ukraine. That the people who leaked these documents really want to expose the lies and to tell the American people, look, you've been lied to. It looks like these sophomores that are advising Joe Biden are going to double down despite their lies. Maybe the American people should know what's really going on. Maybe they'll even be able to do something about it. That's my guess. That's what I think is behind many of the aspects of this leak.
You know, would I be wrong in connecting this to the Seymour Hersh leaks and the subsequent things from Seymour Hersh? It appears to me that there, this stuff is directed towards the State Department. That and in the Hersh leak, you know, the central cabal of neocons was specifically named. Does it appear that maybe there's a battle going on inside the Beltway between maybe the Pentagon or whoever, and this cabal of neocons, and it's spilling out into the open?
I think that's likely. And you know, the fact that the mainstream media is making a big issue of the information in these leaks is in itself a really important factor. Let's face it, the New York Times, Washington Post have not been doing anything substantive that they don't go to the White House first and get permission for. That's the sad state of affairs that exists today. So let's reconstruct here. A month ago, this kind of stuff, these leaks, very important leaks, very official leaks and authentic leaks, started to appear. Now, you can't tell me that people didn't notice that until just last weekend. So the interim 3 or 4 weeks was spent trying to figure out, do we suppress these? Do we keep them out of the media? Now, they can do that. They do that. They have done that. They have suppressed information giving the official lie under oath to the Russiagate hoax about Russian hacking of the DNC. They have suppressed that information since December 5, 2017. Do the math, okay? So this was an option. What's my point? My point was, no, they decided to go ahead. And that supports your surmise, Garland, that there are at least a faction that's gotten in with the Washington Post and New York Times that is trying to say, look, let's leak this stuff now, or let's replay this stuff, whether it, whether the leaker had this intention or not. The mainstream media is now seized with it, and the American people have some prayer of knowing what's really going on. So in case some sensible policies evolve in the next month, they can explain it, or it will not completely shock Americans who fully expect Ukraine to win this war and that everything is just going to be peachy cream. It ain't going to be that way. I think they're beginning to back off.
When you look at how the mainstream is covering this, are they connecting the dots so that Americans can draw the conclusions that they've been lied to all along, or are they being set up again for the off ramp so that as we get closer to 2024, Joe Biden can say, "Oh, I told you this was a bad idea. Oh, we knew that that the spring offensive was not going to work," as Donald Trump has been out there saying for a very, very long time that this was a bad idea all along.
Well, it was a bad idea all along. Everybody who had any sense would have told Joe Biden that. It was a very bad mistake. And now it's become for Biden and the Democrats, well, if I could use the term, an existential threat, okay? A political existential threat. Now, for the Russians, it's not a political existential. It's a strategic, it's a military existential threat. So the Russians aren't going to back down. Putin's first and foremost duty, as he sees it, is to protect Russia from the infringement of medium-range ballistic missiles and already capsules already in Romania and Poland. He sees his mission as making sure that this strategic advantage that the U.S. seeks and that Khrushchev himself sought back in the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, that this doesn't happen. Now, if Biden is guided purely by domestic political considerations, if indeed he considers it an existential threat to him politically, I just don't know what he's going to do. What I see as a hopeful sign is that the media now is running with this, is explaining to the American people for the first time that the Ukrainians are losing, that they can't possibly mount a convincing counteroffensive this spring. This is not what the Americans have been hearing. It's not what the president has been hearing from his top intelligence advisors. And that in itself is a scandal.
You know, I'm going to connect something else to it. Get your thoughts. Macron in China. And recently I read, in fact, today I read that one of Macron's, someone from his embassy said something to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing, if we can't end the Ukraine war, how can we do anything with Russia when they're getting attacked with China, when they're getting attacked for basically kind of going to China, and Macron saying, hey, we don't want any parts of this disaster. In this, the documents, they show that the U.S. is spying on allies. We already know that the U.S. is bombing on allies. There seems to be some other stuff in here that I could interpret it as being a message to get out also, Ray.
Well, I think Macron, this is a very interesting trip to China. He took along somebody said 50 CEOs from French industry. Nothing really has been talked about what kind of talks went on between CEOs from France and their Chinese counterparts. But it was a very amicable situation. And Macron said some things after it, which suggested that, look, we don't want to get dragged into some sort of struggle with China over Taiwan, for God's sake. That couldn't be farther from our national interests. We want to develop good relationships with China. And the reaction elsewhere in the EU has been awful as far as the record is concerned. They say, oh, he's splitting us. He's making private deals with China. Well, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's looking out for France's interests. Now, maybe that will be contagious. Maybe even the Germans will look out for their own national interests, develop their economic relations with China, which are already considerable, and stop this folly of always knee-jerk jumping when the U.S. says jump.
Well, a couple of things at that point. One, we know that an Airbus deal was reached in China, and one can only wonder that, you know, that was at the expense of Boeing. And so one can only wonder if this is the finger back in the eye to replace the submarine deal that the United States stole from France and sent to Australia. And also, it looks as though Macron's mission was different than the United States wanted it to be. The United States, at least as it was reported in Western press, the United States was expecting Macron to go there championing Ukraine and trying to convince China to talk to President Putin. Well, that didn't seem to be in the top five of the issues discussed, Ray McGovern.
Yeah, well, you know, I could see Xi Jinping's inscrutable laugh at that, you know, the French trying to persuade the Chinese to persuade the Russians to cease and desist in Ukraine. I mean, hello, that ain't going to happen. What's interesting is this Airbus deal that was signed and announced before the trip. The other agreements, such as they may be, have not yet been announced. So the French are being very discreet. They don't want to anger their EU allies any more than they already have by going off separately. As for the stick in the eye, I hadn't thought of that, Wilmer, but I think there would be an element of that. After all, the French really got taken cancellation of those submarines that were going to go to Australia. Now, the Airbus, that's going to be a whole new factory. That's going to be a whole new line for the Airbus.
Ray McGovern, as always, thank you so much for your time. Greatly, greatly appreciate that analysis. We look forward to having you back.
You're most welcome.
Folks, you're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Wilmer Leon. I'm joined here by my co-host, Garland Nixon. There's more on the other side. Stay tuned.